in the kingdom of God.
Done for us.
I'm pleased in the cup words. Give thanks and say,
encourages my soul to so
this and invited about
no matter
where
what
I tell you I will not drink again, no matter what we're going to the kingdom of God.
No matter what.
And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you, but the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been declared, but woe to that man who betrays him. We'll stop here for this morning. When Jesus came into this world, he knew that he was about his Father's business, and he was prepared to walk in faithful obedience, even when that obedience meant that he suffered many things. We, in this dispensation of church life, are very, very blessed, because the covenant relationship that we have, I believe, is a very, very special one. It's not to say that the previous covenant relationship that God had with men weren't special, but this is called the dispensation of grace, and I'm thankful for grace.
Yes.
Under the law, we couldn't make it. We just couldn't make it. If they could, there'd be no need for this new covenant. And God saw that. And so he gave us this dispensation of grace, this new covenant relationship. And the text asks us, as often as we do it, to be reminded, to remember Jesus our Lord. He took the Old Testament celebration of the Passover, gave it a New Testament reality, as we know. And so because of his love for us, this is what we pause to do today in our Sunday morning service. He took the wine that was there on the table, and the bread that they had, the Passover, and blessed it, and gave thanks. And it was symbolic, but yet still deeply spiritual. And so in the same way today, we've gathered here today to take these emblems. Even though we're not the physical body, the blood of Jesus Christ, but deeply symbolic to partake in this meaningful covenant relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior today. So as we eat and as we drink, let us do it in remembrance of him and his great love for us. He knew me, but yet still he loved me. He knew you, and yet still he loves you. So let's partake this morning. Love the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to follow the direction of the ushers. Those of you on my left, would you come and go to my left? And those on my right, come and go to my right.
Thank you.
we omitted anyone or missed anyone? Everyone has emblems? Yes, good. Cross, I want to ask you this morning if you will give thanks for the body that was broken. After then, would you give thanks for the blood that was poured on the cross?
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come to remember what you did for us, Father. We thank you for your broken body that you laid up before us, Lord Jesus. We declare that Jesus, that stripes we are healed. We declare that our Jesus and our bodies is just a word. We thank you for what you have done. We ask these things in our precious name.
Read it many times. It struck me this morning. You said that you would never do this again until we joined you in heaven. I mean, I think about how many times you have missed this. As we've stood together as brothers and sisters on level ground. This is one of the places where we stand on level ground. No matter what our week or what our month or what our year has brought us, we stand together on level ground. We take this together as you asked us to do and remember this. And on that day when we gathered with you in heaven, we were able to look back in time with you of the number of occasions where we stood together and you missed this. I can't count that high. I can't add a zero, Father, but that would be a great day. So until that day, Lord, we just stand before you in humble thanks for you reminding us to do this together again in remembrance of you. Thank you for the blood that has reached back in time and all the way forward through the time that we will join you together. Thank you for that. We ask you to continue to shed your life and blood upon us.
Let us eat and drink together. If you would pass the cups to the aisle, we will collect them on the stone. Thanks to Glenda and Ed and the praise team for leading us. Eleanor was supposed to be leading today, but when we looked at the schedule, she'd been on the last 4 or 5 weeks. That's a great way to burn people out. So we figured, you know, give Eleanor a break and let someone else lead. So thanks, Ed and Eleanor, and filling in on the last minute here for us. Well, I'm going to share a message with you. It's a very familiar story. I shared this passage of scripture last with you in 2010, so 4 years ago. So I don't know if too many of you can remember it, but if you don't, it'll be a great refresher for those of you who do, and those of you who don't, it'll be new information, hopefully. And so we want to look at the passage of scripture today. And I was thinking primarily in view of the family discussion that we will be having. I don't know about your family, but when we have family discussions, emotions can run pretty high sometimes. So we have to always be reminded that there's a lot of giggles in the congregation. It sounds like they're my family. this is a, I feel and felt that in the preparation that this would be quite appropriate to lead up to what we're going to talk about after the message, and a very familiar story. So let's get into it, and because you know the story, I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm just going to pick one verse, and just in that one verse, there is a lot. Two simple words in verse 11. And so if you have your Bibles or it's on the screen, let us go to verse 11. Go to John, the Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter and the 22nd verse. And it says, well, let's read it together. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. You can preach a million sermons on that one scripture. Never run out of information. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. There are two words that I want to focus on in this text. And they're even now. Even now. This is Martha's response. You know, it's a story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And you know that Jesus had been informed that Lazarus was sick. And he had lots of notice. And how long did it take Jesus to get to Lazarus? 4 days. He had lots of time. He had 2 days' notice that he was sick. And then when he received word that he had died, he stayed an extra 2 days. And so, of course, you have to understand the context. It is Mary and Martha, Lazarus, and Jesus ate at their table, and he fellowshiped with them. He was very close to them. And all of a sudden, he's away, not too far away, 2 miles away exactly. Would have taken them maybe, let's say, 2 hours to walk the 2 miles. And Jesus doesn't show up right away. How do you feel when you pack people into your house, you fed them, you've taken care of their needs, now you've got a need, and you know that they're not too far away, and you make a phone call, and things could have been resolved earlier, but then they delay and show up long after the situation has gotten bad. How would you feel? You know, you've been nice to the pastor, and you love him, and you care for him, and now you've got a need, and he's just down in the middle of the woods, and it takes him 4 days to get to the West End. And it's the middle of summer, and he's in the city. All right? Doesn't matter, he can come at midnight. Still takes him 4 days to get to the West End. How would you feel? Put yourself in Martha's shoes. How would you feel? Right? So, as we go through this text, I want to just share some things with you in light of preparing you and prepare your attitude and heart for what we're going to be chatting about later on in the day. And so, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus took very good care of Jesus. And he ate their food and sat in their home, and when they needed a place to sleep, they provided for him and they cared for him. In fact, when word came that he arrived, Martha went out to meet Jesus. However, the text tells us something about Martha that it's important for us to know. The text said that she remained inside when she heard that Jesus was outside. And I don't know about you, but I let my mind begin to wonder. Could it be that she was just caught up in grief, or maybe a little bit angry? Possible. I think that she was a little bit upset, and she remained inside. And this gets me to thinking about the sometimes expectations of people. Because I'm stretching a little bit, but when I read the text and I feel what's going on in the text, it's highly possible that she felt that Jesus should have been there a lot earlier. The text even said that. Gigi even told him so. She said, Lord, had you been there earlier, this would not have happened. And so sometimes people have expectations, but also sometimes, Pastor Dan, that some of those expectations are not realistic for anybody to fulfill. And sometimes God allows us to go through things so that he can complete his work of grace in our lives and perfect us to a place where he can use us for the furtherance of his kingdom and his glory. So I want to talk to you this morning on the subject even now. Yeah. Even now tells us that in the extremities of the trials and struggles that we go through in our lives, no matter where we are or what we're going through, if we can ask in the name of the Lord, we know that help can surely come.
Yes.
God will grant it. And this is Martha saying to Jesus, I know that whatever you ask for, he'll do it.
Yes.
And if Martha knows it, then I think you and I need to know it as well.
Yes.
Can we believe that even now in times of when all possibilities seem to fail, the Lord will have his way and he will lead his people in his ways, and his name is going to be glorified throughout the circumstances, no matter what.
Yes.
So even now speaks to us of help. Mary, Martha had sought the help of the Lord earlier. When you read the text, it tells us that they sent word that Lazarus was sick. Carmen, they did not wait until all hell broke loose before they went to Jesus. They went to Jesus ahead of time. I wish some of our people today, some of our Christians today, would go to Jesus first rather than going to everybody else. And when everything else failed, then we go to him as a last resort. That is using the Lord as a spare tire when nothing else works. But the text tells me that they went to Jesus. They sent word to Jesus earlier. She was pleading his intercession before things got bad. He was sick, but she was interceding for him before he died. And I want to say to you that when you have a difficult situation, it wouldn't hurt us at all to have some prayers of intercession. To be able to have somebody or someone stand in the gap for you. Now, Lazarus was sick, and he couldn't carry his own, but he had sisters who were able to stand in the gap for him. We need sisters and brothers who can stand in the gap for us when we can't intercede for ourselves. And so his sisters were interceding on behalf of Jesus for the help of their brothers. I wish we had some people who are not afraid to intercede for one another and stand in the gap. However, Jesus waited his time, because the Lord's ways are not our ways. And the Lord's ways are the ways of human impossibility. What do you mean by that? Is that the ways of Jesus, the way he handles things, and the way he deals with his people, is sometimes he waits until it looks impossible with us.
Yes.
And then he intervenes.
Yes.
Now, we read in John 11, 5 to 7, that now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so you want to wonder, now, if the Lord loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, why does this show up on time and early?
Yeah.
Is this how the Lord treats his people that he loves? Sometimes he does.
Yes.
Because being loved by God does not give you immunity from difficulties.
Yes.
Sometimes we get the idea that because we're serving Jesus, that everything should be all hunky-dory. It should all be smooth, no challenges. But the text says that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, Lazarus.
Yeah.
But he didn't show up when they thought he should have showed up.
Yeah.
Just a reminder to you to keep some perspective on life and to see how things are going, because we can become very discouraged sometimes and get in a bad attitude because we think God owes us something.
Yeah.
He's supposed to answer when we call, show up when we make demands. Well, he's God. If he does that, then he's no longer sovereign. He's just responding to our demands and we become sovereign. But I don't want to serve a God that is not sovereign.
Right.
I don't want to be sovereign. He has to be sovereign.
Yes.
And so we find that when he heard that Lazarus was sick, the text says that he stayed 2 more days in the same place where he was. And he waited until it was God's time. And in God's time, it was God's way of absolute impossibility for the people. Martha is upset, angry, and frustrated. We see her limited perspective as she goes out to greet Jesus following the death of her brother Lazarus. And Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Look at verse 21. In her state of bereavement, she still recognizes and respects She still recognizes and respects the source of her help. She recognizes that her help comes from the Lord. She says, Lord, it is not a lack of faith that she's expressing here. She says, Lord. So she's got faith in him. Martha articulates in this account her conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I'm wondering this morning if we have some people who understand that we ought to be able to call on the Lord even before we have difficulties, before we have trials. I wish I had some people who knew how to call upon the Lord while they're in the midst of difficulties, suffering, and trials. I wish somebody knew how to call on the name of the Lord when you couldn't call anybody else. You can still call on the name of the Lord. And so Martha did not lose her faith in the midst of this crisis. Can I pause here for a little, for a few moments? I come across a lot of people that run into difficulty, and it's amazing how quickly they lose their faith. It's amazing how quickly they give up on God because he didn't respond when they thought he should have responded. Martha demonstrates an example for us today that even though Lazarus is dead, she still maintains her faith in the Lord.
Yes.
And even in that state of bereavement, she knew that if Jesus asked God for help, she knew that God would do it.
Yes.
I wish we would emulate the same example and model the same for us in this body of believers here today. Martha evidently held a conviction that Jesus could heal the sick, but not only heal the sick, he could raise the dead.
Yes.
The exercise of her faith was something that kept her in this difficult time. In other words, what we can ask for truly in the name of Jesus Christ, we need to understand that God will do it. So we will never despair, even in absolute impossibility. God will accomplish his glory in our trials, which is his purpose for us. So even though Lazarus is dead, sorrow, emotions, anger, and disappointments are flying very high, Martha sees that there is still an opportunity for Jesus to help in this situation. Even now tells me that it is not over yet. Even now tells me that we're angry, but we can still find help. Even now tells me that we are sad, but you can still find the name of Jesus to call upon it. Even now says we're frustrated, but help is still on the way. Even now says we're grieving, but help is still on the way. Even now says we're disappointed, but help is still on the way. We're discouraged, but help is still on the way. We are emotional, but God is still God. We are broke, but Jesus is still Lord. We are hurt, but it's not over until God says it's over. We are in pain, but we can still find peace in the midst of that pain. Even now, you and I can still find the direction and the help and the answer to the questions that we have. God is not dead. He's alive.
Amen. Yes.
Even now speaks to us of hope. The Lord's ways are always the ways of human impossibility. However, Martha's perspective is limited in at least two ways. Why do you say that, Pastor? First of all, she says to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha's perspective is that Jesus is too late. Martha's perspective is that Jesus is too late. Martha's view is that Jesus needed to arrive by a particular time if Lazarus was going to be healed. And I want to say to you today that God's timing is perfect, even though we don't feel like it sometimes. Have you ever been in a situation where it looked like all hope was lost, and just the time you're about to give up, Jesus shows up? I wish I had a witness this morning. Jesus is an on-time Jesus. He was on time at the Red Sea. He was on time with Abraham. He was on time with Daniel in the lion's den. He was on time with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He was on time with Elijah on Mount Carmel. He was on time with Hezekiah. He was on time with Paul and Silas. He was on time with Peter. He was on time with you and I. And he will continue to be an on-time kind of Jesus. So no matter what you're facing, don't despair that Jesus is too late. Because even now, he can turn that situation around. Even now. Secondly, Martha's perspective was limited in terms of space. As she says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha seems to think that Jesus needs to be physically present for his miraculous power to work. But she didn't read of some of the passages in the gospel where a centurion said to Jesus, just speak the word and my daughter will be healed. She did not hear of this account. I do not mean to criticize Martha, because I believe that we would have likely have said much of the same thing had we been in our circumstances. But pointing out Martha's limited perspective, we see our own limitations as they relate to God, as they relate to God's working in our lives and in this world around us. After lamenting that Jesus had not arrived at their house in time, she nonetheless confesses to Jesus that even now, I know that whatever you ask God for, he will do it to you. Yeah. Friends, here is a demonstration of why faith is so vital to those of us who profess to be Christians. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
On this side of heaven, our view of God is a little different. Our view of justice is a little different. Our view of the way things are is a little bit limited. But when we place our faith in Almighty God, he enables us to see beyond the natural and see into the physical. And it's those eyes that I want to challenge you to open today and to begin to look with spiritual eyes. It is so easy to look around with the natural eyes and see things one way. But try looking at it through the spiritual lenses of Almighty God, and I believe that you will see something different. For this reason, our posture before God must be the posture of faith, understanding that there is much that we cannot see, and believing that God is capable of accomplishing what needs to be done, even in our limited scope of visibility.
Yes.
It's the strength of her faith that will bring her out of this desperate situation. Even now is an exercise of faith, and faith gives us hope. Hope that all is not lost. Hope that something somehow will change. Hope that God will make a way out of no way. Hope that all things are possible to those who believe. Hope that if we can see the invisible, we can do the impossible. Hope that victory can be ours today and even now. Hope that God specializes in the impossible. If you've got some river that you can't cross, and you got some mountain that you can't climb, God specializes.
Yes.
There was still hope, because she knew that whatever Jesus asked God for, he would do it.
Yes.
And I want to say that to you today, that there is hope for us.
Yes.
There is hope for us. Even now speaks to us of happiness. Happiness comes through restoration. You know, sometimes if you're going to have restoration, you've got to go back to the place of burial or closure. Go back to where I was or we were 12, 13 years ago, because there could be some things in our lives today that are not allowing us to have closure. And we've got to go back and roll the stone away and to uncover some things that we need to deal with. You're not hearing me today. Sometimes, in order for Mary and Martha to have the happiness of their brother, let me illustrate for you, they had to go back to a tomb and face some stinky stuff. Some of us don't want to face the stinky stuff. And we have some stinky stuff. And we've got to face the stinky stuff. Jesus could have stayed at Mary and Martha's house, and he could have said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus could have come walking.
Yes.
But that's not what the text tells us. When we read the text, they went to the tomb. Now, Jesus could have said, just come forth. And if he had just said, come forth, every dead body would have come forth.
Yes.
So he had to be specific.
Yes.
He says, Lazarus,
yes,
come forth.
Yes.
They got to call certain things by name. You got to name it for what it is,
yeah,
and address it for what it is.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, other things will come forth.
Yes.
So you got to be specific in what you're doing.
Yeah.
You got to understand what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
And call it by name.
Yeah.
Now when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, they had to leave the house and go down to the graveside where he was buried at 2. And it was 4 days and the body was starting to smell.
Yeah.
If you read the text.
Yeah.
All right. But they still had to go back and deal with the stinky stuff. I believe a lot of the challenges we have in the church today is a lot of us are covering up our stinky stuff.
Yeah.
We don't want to go back and deal with it.
Amen.
And it's keeping us from having victory and restoration. I'm going to hoop and holler today. I just want you to get this.
Yeah.
You got to deal with the stinky stuff.
Yeah.
Some unforgiveness, stinky stuff. Rejection, stinky stuff. Bitterness, stinky stuff. Walking in willful disobedience to the will of God, stinky stuff. All right. God wants us to go back and deal with the stinky stuff. Now, there's a thing we notice in the text that when Jesus went to the tomb and they went with him and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus had the power to bring Lazarus forth free.
Yeah.
He had the power to do it.
Yeah.
But when Lazarus stood up, he was still bound up.
Yeah.
If they're going to have happiness, not only do they have to deal with the stinky stuff, but Jesus is standing right there. And I want you to know this, that Jesus does not do supernaturally those things that can be done by human means.
Yeah.
We're sitting here waiting for God to grow the church, give us lots of money, give us a big building.
All right.
But even though he's with us, he's not going to do that when you're sitting on the pews.
Yeah.
We want all kinds of different ministries to be up and running, but no one wants to lead them. Are we expecting angels to come down from heaven and take over the responsibilities of doing these ministries? So if the angels won't do it, Jesus won't do it, you're here, you won't do it, well, how would it get done? It's a text. The text says that Jesus could have gone and unwrapped Lazarus himself. Well, he didn't. He told them, you go untie him. Because when Lazarus come out, he came out like this. When Jesus said, come forward, my board is some TD Jakes. He said, Lazarus came forward, he wasn't walking, he was hopping. Because he was bound. He can't move. So if you're going to be able to have the freedom that you want, you need some people around you to help you get the freedom you need. Now that's mine, that's not Jake's. I just bored the hopping for him. I like that.
Right.
We need people around us who will help us to be free. That come into our lives. And when they get free, we get free as well. Because we see what God, the power of God, can do. And so today I want to just encourage you with this simple text that we see. That Lazarus became free when people went and faced the stinky stuff. And they began to untie him and set him free. And he got free and they got free. Jesus will not do supernaturally those things that can be done by human means. He's not going to do it. He was right there. He could have done it. And he could have said that as an example for them. But he didn't. He said, you go and untie him. You go and free him. You go and get him to the place where he's back to where he was. So my encouragement to you today is that even now, it looked like it might be dead. It might be dead. It could be dying, but even now. The marriage could be failing, but even now. The kids are crazy, but even now. The church is struggling, but even now. The husband has issues, but even now. Problems are all around, but even now. My health, the doctor said, but even now. There's struggles, but even now. Even now. Want to see change.
Yes.
Even now.
Thank you.
Tell God, that even today, it's not too late.
Yes.
It is not too late.
Right.
It is not too late. Even now,
yeah.
It is not too late. Next month, it's not too late. Even now. So no matter what you're going through, take these two words of Martha that said, even now.
Yes.
Even now.
Now.
It looked bad.
Yeah.
But even now.
Uh-huh.
It smells bad.
Right.
But even now.
Yes. Yes.
It don't look right, but even now.
Right.
It doesn't feel right.
Mm.
But even now.
Yeah.
Even now. Even now.
Praise
God. If you call on God and tell him that, Lord, even now.
Yes. Yes.
Would have been nice 5 years ago, but even now.
Yes. Yes.
He should have been here a long time ago, but even now.
Yes.
She should have been here a long time ago, but even now.
Yes.
The job I've been waiting on, even now.
Yeah.
Finances, even now.
Yeah.
The health, even now.
Yeah.
Even now. It's
yes.
Not too late.
Thank you.
Two simple words of mine. Even now. You've been waiting for a long time to accept Jesus as your Savior.
Even now. Yes.
But even now. You've been waiting for a long time to start over, even now. You've been waiting for a change of attitude,
even
now. Today's a good day to start. Even now. It's not too late. Two simple words. You know, we can preach from this text and make a whole lot of noise for the next 10 years and never exhaust it. Two words, even now. So let's go back home. When you read your Bible, just highlight those two words.
Yes.
And say, Lord, give me a Martha's mentality. Even now.
Yes.
I know they're talking about you, but even now.
Yeah.
I know they're scandalizing your name, even now.
Now.
I know they're, you know, they want to see you fail, but even now. Even now, it's not too late. I know I was thinking of blessing them with right words, so even now.
Yeah.
I know I got these evil thoughts in my mind, but Lord, even now you can deal with that. Even now. I know I messed up, and I've been messing up, but Lord, even now. Even now. Even now. Today's a great day for you. I've been thinking of coming back to church, but even now. Even now.
Yeah.
Think of these two little words right there in your mind.
Yeah.
I've been thinking we'll start tithing. Even now. It's a good thing to start. Even now. Thinking of loving my husband a little bit more, somebody. Even now. It's a good day to start. It's a good day to start. I got excited about the marriage stuff, eh? I said, start loving my husband, all the guys start kicking on. Oh, Lord. Even now.
Yeah.
Just keep this thought in your mind. As we talk about some family issues, and take this little story from Mary and Martha, the story of Lazarus, we all know it. And it's a wonderful story, there's so much in there.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to tell you those two little words.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even now,
yeah.
Even now, again, even now, the Lord,
yeah.
Even now,
yeah.
Even now, God is still God.
Yeah.
What you're going through, He's still God. Even all the great chaos, even now.
Mm-hmm.
All the confusion,
even
now, thank you.
Yeah.
Even now.
Yeah.
Even now.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave that with you.
Yes.
Just join hands with the person next to you.